Please come closer, inshallah, brothers and sisters. Please let's sit as close as possible. Jazakumullahu khairan. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Rabbi shahli sadri wa sirri amri wa hlul 'uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى إنك على كل شيء قدير يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable whatever we hear and share. May Allah enable myself and all of us to put into practice. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enable us to share with others. May Allah azza wa jal grant us victory over our nafs and shaitan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant all of us immense amounts of tawfiq to be able to fulfill the rites or attempt to fulfill the rites of this beautiful blessed month. Allahumma ameen. We yesterday, alhamdulillah, we covered a few stories and anecdotes from the lives of Sheikh Ilyas rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Hussein Ahmad Madini rahmatullah alayhi, Sheikh Rashid Ahmad Gangohi rahmatullah alayhi, with regards to fasting in the month of Ramadan and the way they spent their time and the way they exerted themselves in ibadah. Continuing on with that, I'm going to read a few other stories of the individuals of the ulama and how their Ramadan went. Regarding Mawlana Qasim Nanadwi rahimahullah, Sheikh Zakaria writes, I'm reading again from the book The Fathers and the Sons of the Oban by Sheikh Zakaria Al-Kandalwi. He says, I never learned of the routine of Mawlana Qasim Nanadwi except that it is known that he memorized the whole Quran on his maritime journey to Hijaz in the Ramadan of 1861. He memorized one juz each day and recited in Tarawih that very night. However, according to another report, he himself says that he memorized the whole Quran in two Ramadan. So there are two reports regarding the founder of Darul Uloom, Mawlana Qasim Nanadwi rahmatullahi alayhi, that he did not get a chance to memorize the Quran during his study days. So he ended up on a journey to Hijaz on the ship. It happened to coincide with Ramadan. So he would recite, he would memorize the one juz in the morning and read it at night. Every single day, one juz. And one story narrates that he memorized it over two Ramadans. But nonetheless, it happened either in 1 month or in 2 months. The entire Quran was memorized. One big reason, obviously it's a miracle, miraculous nature of the Quran. But additionally, when a person recites Quran abundantly, then and loves the Quran, then the Quran becomes easy to memorize. When you read it a lot and a lot and a lot, what will happen? Like we're reading Surah Al-Kahf now, alhamdulillah, Allah grant all of us tawfiq to be with istiqamah, us and our families. I'm sure many of the audience members have memorized it because you read it every day. Some of the kids who sit and listen, I know they know it too, the little ones, because they're listening to it every day. So whatever we read, they didn't just open up the Quran and say, chalo, let's memorize it. These are the people who are already probably reading 10, 15, 20 juz a day for years and decades. And now they put their mind to it and say, okay, this month we have to memorize it. And they went ahead and did it. So I get asked about Quran memorization goals for the month of Ramadan. And that's good, very good for all of us, especially even elders. But more than memorization of Quran for us or youngsters, the key thing is how much are we reading? May I say, even before we attempt to memorize the Quran, how about we have a goal for ourselves that if I can read, you know, spend an hour reading Quran a day, then I will spend half hour memorizing afterwards. Let me first prove it to myself that I'm committed to the upkeep of Quran. And what is upkeep of Quran? By reading it consistently. So it might not be the excitement of memorizing, but the slow and steady wins the race. The more we recite, the more we read, inshallah, the barakah and the spiritual strength will come. And eventually a day, if Allah wills, will come, we'll be able to memorize it. What is the point that a person memorizes it but does not have the ability and the tawfiq to read it? It's much better that a person is reading without having memorized it as opposed to having memorized it without reading. Haji Imdadullah Muhajir Makki rahimullah. Regarding the routine of Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullah alayhi writes, that Haji Imdadullah said to us, I say this for your own good, that this faqir never slept on most nights of his youth, especially the nights of Ramadan. This faqir has not slept on most nights of his youth. Remember, this is over 150 years ago. All the distractions that you have today were not present. Closer to 200 years ago. The distractions that we have today, of the night. That time, what you could do in the night? There is no even light in most places besides a lantern. So how he must have been spending that night, and especially the nights of Ramadan. He's after Maghrib, two youth. One half is Yusuf, the son of Hafiz Zamin, and the second, my nephew, Hafiz Ahmad Hussein, led me in Salah after Maghrib. They recited one juz and a quarter each until Isha. So the Nafil Salah is starting after Maghrib. We talked about that yesterday too with Mawlana Rashid Ahmad Gangohi's schedule. Two boys are leading Aji Sahab in Nafil, in Awabin, or Nafil Salah. One juz and a quarter each. How much is that? 2.5 juz between Maghrib and Isha. After Isha, two fresh hafad would lead, and then another hafidh until midnight, and then another two in tahajjud. In this summary, the whole night was passed in this manner. How many people? Two hufaz between Maghrib and Isha, two hufaz for Tarawih, and then another two in tahajjud. Subhanallah. So you have three different jama'ats happening between Maghrib and Isha, in Tarawih, and Qiyamul Layl. Regarding Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri, an incident is narrated about Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri in Abiti. Abiti is the autobiography of Sheikh Zakaria. That he was extremely sick in one Ramadan. It was hot and searing winds were blowing across the region. For many days he broke his fast with medicine and never consumed anything. Jum'ah came and Maulvi Abdullah Jan, the solicitor, came to pray Jum'ah. He saw his pallid face and frail body and could not hold himself back. He hid behind one of the pillars of the masjid and began to cry. Maulvi Abdullah Jan started crying when he saw how weak and frail Maulana Khalil Ahmad seems. Maulana Abdul Latif asked, Hazrat, you have not eaten for days and are suffering. It would be good if Hazrat makes up the fast at a later time. After all, the fuqaha and the jurist have given permission, dispensation in this matter, rukhsa in this matter. So why don't you don't have to fast? And look over there. Maulana Abdullah Jan over there by the pillar is crying, looking at your situation. Hazrat was startled and he said, what are you saying, Hafiz Sahab? Fast, and then the fast of Ramadan, you're asking me to leave? Roza, wo bhi Ramzan ka roza chhodne ko keh rahe ho? Allahu Akbar. You know, this is not a small state. He's not eating, drinking, he can't even take medicine, so sick. He said, but you're asking me to leave out the fast of Ramadan? Then he said, when Allah is the changer of the hearts, then how is it that a self-possessed man like Maulvi Abdullah Jan loses his composure? What happened to him? Why is he crying? Why is this man crying? Allah is a changer of the hearts. Allah, why is this person who is so strong person, why is he sitting there crying? So he's surprised that people are crying at his state. He's not crying at his own state. He's getting upset at the one who's saying, there's rukhsa, there's permission to leave out the fast. He said, why are you saying that? The fast of Ramadan, I will never do that. It is written in the book, the Ramadan of the elders, that Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri led Tarawih himself. And since he had memorized at an older age and was in a state of spiritual absorption during recitation, he occasionally stumbled in recitation, although he rarely ever made mistakes. People traveled from afar to pray behind him. Some completed their own Tarawih earlier to join him. He would say, I make a ruku', but feel as if I will not be able to get up for the next rak'ah. I complete 20 rak'ah, thinking in each rak'ah that I am going to fall. And rising from sajda is harder than climbing a steep mountain. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. This is his attachment. Honestly, I feel like, you know, one rak'ah of his is more valuable than 20 years of my tarawih. This is a man, what is he saying? Interesting about all of these ulama, that they memorize Quran at a later age. The fervor of memorizing Quran that we have now at a young age was possibly not present in those days. But what they had was the attachment and the yaqeen on the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we have a huge fervor and excitement for memorizing, but that's it. Nothing beyond that. May Allah Azza wa Jalla accept the efforts of young people trying to memorize and the parents who are encouraging their kids to memorize. But also may Allah open the eyes, the veil, remove the veils from the eyes of the parents and the children to understand that memorization is just a very basic step. As absolutely not the end.
So he memorized at an older age when his spirituality was much higher. So when he was reciting Taraweeh, he would sometimes be slow in recitation because he would be so absorbed in the meanings and in the message and in the nur of each ayah. But yet people would come from far and wide to listen to him. Today we have such an emphasis on the voice. And nowadays you have artificially, you know, you have artificial food, you have artificial coloring, you have artificial, you know, flavor of everything. Now you have artificial voice. So you have a way to play around with the mics and add all sorts of filters to make the voice sound so much more beautiful than it actually is. Just like you have the cosmetic industry, making the face, adding all these colors and this and that, filters. So you have on the Instagram and things of that sort, astaghfirullah. Same thing, they have filters to add. I don't know what the exact word, what do they call it? There's a special word for that. But I don't remember the exact word. But to basically manipulate the voice to sound it much more melodious and powerful, etc. Add echo into it. And today we think that this is the Quran. We say, I want to go recite Taraweeh behind such and such qari in such and such masjid. Awaz badi piyari hai. The voice is very good. Before, this was not the point. The thing was, what attracted people was not the beauty and the melodious tone of the voice. It was the ruhaniya in that voice. It was the spirituality in that voice. That the person was reciting, he has spent already 4 hours in tahajjud reciting. Or he will spend 4 hours after Taraweeh in tahajjud reciting. He has already spent time crying in front of Allah for 40 minutes, for an hour. When a person like that recites Taraweeh, then regardless of how his sound is, those words will penetrate to the deepest, thickest forms of rust on the heart. They will go through, cut through any type of filth that's on the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you and I from amongst those who have that type of ruhaniya, that when we recite, it cuts through the rust. And may Allah grant us the suhbah of such people who have achieved the status that when we sit and stand behind them in salah, it has a powerful impact, not because of the melodious voice only, but beyond that, because of their own spirituality. Our honorable Shaykh, Mawlana Ubaidullah, damat barakatuhum, Alhamdulillah, may Allah give him long life and health. But he's right now. One brother was telling me, he left me, I said, how's Taraweeh there? He's in Faisalabad. He does Taraweeh there for years, you know, 4 decades or more. And he said, the Taraweeh ends there. You know, Pakistan time for iftar right now is similar to us. Isha, I'm pretty sure, is similar, 7:30, 8 o'clock. He said, the Taraweeh ends at 1 a.m. 1 a.m. every day. They're not necessarily a huge crowd. But people, those people who know what's in it, they come for it. You know how after every 4 rakat previously they used to read the du'as? Subhana lil mulki wal malakut, subhana lil izzati wal jabrut, right? They have the big papers. And then it's mentioned actually supposed to, that those who are in the Mecca originally, that between every 4 rakat what they would do? One tawaf. Tawaf. Not one round. A complete tawaf between every 4 rakats. So Hazrat Mawlana Ubaidullah damat barakatuhum and those who are with him, udhar piche kyun baithe bhai? Kareeb ho. That the person is, yani between every 4 rakah, they do a full session of muraqabah and dhikr. Muraqabah, meditation, and dhikr. Yani taqreeban samajh lijiye 20 minutes, minimum 20 minutes of muraqabah and dhikr between every 4 rakah. So those who have gone there, may Allah was to witness something like this, they say, yani the ruhaniyah of that salah and the ruhaniyah of that taraweeh is just something else. Usually, may Allah forgive all of us, we're looking at the clock. Which imam finishes at which time? Which early? How much tilawah is done? Done. Let's do 7 day, 3 day, 5 day, 4 day. Quick. But where's the quality in it? The quality, I'm not even... And the most you see is someone who recites slowly with tajweed. But that's about it. What about the ruhaniyah that's supposed to be attached with the recitation of the Quran? And this is what our salaf were about. Our mashayikh, you know, I grew up, my hifz teacher was like this too, and many of our teachers in Mawlana Abdul Haq Sahab, etc., alhamdulillah, like the same thing. The melodious long adhans, the melodious long tilawas in which you're playing around with your maqamat and the sounds, up and down, you know, kabi idar, kabi udar, lahja, ye lahja, they hated this. Don't recite Quran, don't recite in a musical tone. Quran, jahib, make sure you're not singing a nasheed. Okay?
Reciting Quran to Allah. Recite it in a beautiful tone, but make sure that we are not losing focus, that the voice is Amre Mustahsan. It's something extra, which is beautiful. Zaid or Mustahsan. It's extra and it's recommended. But the core is the tilawa itself. Focus on what you're reciting. Let everyone focus on ki Allah ka kalam hai. This is the speech of Allah. Allah is speaking to me. I need to take benefit from this. When the reciter and those who are reciting, their focus is on taking benefit from the kalam of Allah, the mahol will change. Remember one thing, my beloved brothers. Many of you are sitting here say, I don't lead tarawih. What am I supposed to do? The sincerity that you have in your namaz and salah, it has definite effect on the imam himself. As it was mentioned, if I remember correctly, when the Prophet ﷺ, one day he made sahu in his salah, he made a mistake. And he looked at the people, and he pretty much asked the people, what's going on? The sahu and the mistake happened here, but there's some sort of thing happening in the background amongst the musallis, which has led this this type of confusion to affect me as well. I remember when we had Quran night here some years ago, or last year. Quran night. Yeah, we had a different shoe here. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So the Qaris who recited afterwards, they said, we never had any majlis like this. The majlis was packed all the way to that, 2 years ago. Very ruhani. I said, what happened? They said, we've never been in an audience where the whole audience was super focused looking at us or looking down. And what was not happening? What was not happening? Nobody had a camera out. Nobody in the entire audience had a camera out. Because what can a camera take ruhaniyat? Leave the camera. You can get, if there's a recording, it's probably someone else doing a recording. Let me focus. Allah's word is being recited. Let me focus on that. So the qaris were affected by that. The focus in the room. May Allah reward all of you and the entire Darussalam community who've created a mahol like this over here, an environment where that a person, subhanAllah, asks himself, why should I be the weirdo recording? No one else around here is recording. Let me focus on what's being done. Let me focus on the bayan. Let me focus on the Quran. Our mashayikh, they were so particular even now. If they see a tape recorder in front of the bayan, they're like, band karo yaar, focus. The reason why, what's happening when you have a recording, then you always think that I will go back and listen to the recording and take notes, which ever happens? Never happens. He said, think about it, this is your last chance to listen to something beneficial. Listen to every bayan as though it's your last bayan. And whatever you can take from it, take from it. That focus is so powerful. So sometimes we do things with good intentions, but the results don't be what they need to be. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. So Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saranpuri is so focused in his tilawah that he sometimes maybe stutters a little bit because he's focused on it. People yet used to come. And then he says that when it comes to, I repeat this again, what powerful words. He said, when I go to ruku', I feel that I will not be able to get up for the next rak'ah because I am so engrossed in this ruku'. I feel like I cannot get up for the next rak'ah. And every rak'ah of the 20 rak'ah that I complete it as though I'm thinking I'm going to fall. Not because I'm too frail, but because of the weight of the Qur'an. Because of the weight of the Quran. And rising from sajda is harder than climbing a steep mountain. Kya alfaz hai? Steep mountain. You know how mountain climbing is? The rising from sajda, because the person has fallen in love with speaking with Allah. May Allah grant us this type of sajda. Say ameen. May Allah grant us the sweetness of sajda. May Allah grant us the sweetness of salah. Allahumma ameen. May Allah allow all of us to repent and make tawbah and run away from all those things that are making us deprived of tasting the sweetness that is being mentioned here. After Fajr, Mawlana Khalil Ahmad Saranpuri, he said he would remain engrossed in his daily adhkar until early morning. Then he sat down for the research on Badlul Majhud, the Sharh of Abu Dawood, until 11 a.m. Thereafter, he went home and rested for a short time. After Dhuhr, he recited Quran to Hafiz Muhammad Hussain, who came specially for this purpose from Ajrar. I guess from a different place, he'd come all the way to listen to Azam Mawlana Khalil Ahmad's Quran. He usually recited Tasbih from Asr to Maghrib and then rehearsed Quran twice with my father. Yani Mawlana Zakaria says, with my father, Mawlana Yahya. He would recite the Quran twice with my father. After Maghrib, he recited the juz of Taraweeh in his nafil, and then came home, sat with the family, and then rested for a short while. In Medina Munawwara, he had assigned Zakaria, and he talked about himself, I guess. He assigned Zakaria to wake him up at 8 Arab time. But whenever I went, I found Hazrat performing his wudu. After Badr was completed, he used the time for the recitation of the Quran and to study Wafa'ul Wafa. So the idea was the whole time in Ramadan is spent in ibadah or the ibadah of Quran, dhikr, and research ilm. Regarding Shaykh al-Hind, it is mentioned, Mawlana Mahmud al-Hassan, Shaykh Zakaria says, the whole night would be spent listening to the recitation of the Quran. Shaykh al-Hind would sit, Huffaz would alternate, but he would remain throughout the night listening and participating in that. Standing, yani, not listening and sitting on a chair. Standing throughout the night, praying behind. Yani aap sochiye, imam thak gaya lekin muqtadi nahi thak raha hai. Imams are rotating, but the muqtadi is sitting there, standing there. Maulana Abdul Rahim Rajpuri, before the partition between Pakistan and India in 1947, over 500 people would come in Ramadan to spend with Maulana Abdul Rahim Rajpuri. To spend time with Maulana Abdul Rahim Rajpuri Sahib. 500 people come to i'tikaf. But no one was allowed to talk or meet with him throughout the month. You're going to be spending time in i'tikaf with the Sheikh, but you're not greeting and you're not talking. The closest they got when he appeared from his private chamber to go to the masjid. Everyone would then stand up in their spots to get a glimpse of him. However, his special attendants like Mawlana Abdul Qadir Raipuri and Mawlana Allah Bakhsh were allowed to sit and maybe get a word or two with him during the brief interval in which Hazrat drank 2 or 3 cups of tea after Taraweeh. Only one time, he suddenly raised the topic of Haqiqat Muhammadiyya and expounded on it for 2.5 hours for many days consecutively. There is truly no end to how much we can delve into the lives of our elders. So I want us to think about kaisi ajeeb cheez. May Allah grant us this ruhani again. That Mawlana Abdul Rahim Raipuri Sahib, there is no flyer, there's no marketing, there's no live streaming, there's no, you know, shorts, nothing. Kahan kaise 500 people are coming to do i'tikaf. And on top of that, you cannot meet him and you cannot talk to him. What were they? And you understand from here that not only the mashayikh were great, the average person was great. That the average person had a receptor. That he would say that I'm receiving something here. I don't need to meet you and I don't need to greet you because you're very busy. But by simply sitting in the back of the masjid, I'm getting something from this taraweeh and from this i'tikaf that I could have never gotten in my own village. The general public was also so much spiritually in tune than where we are today. This is something really to focus on. That if the leadership or the ulama are not where they are, they need to be, then the public is of course not where they need to be. It's the whole ecosystem has been corrupted through excessive materialism, through excessive exposure to sin, excessive exposure to ma la ya'ni, unnecessary idle talk, unnecessary glances, doubtful food, of course, doubtful income. The list goes on. So this is why I was speaking to one of our mashayikh. He told me, man, in America, even if you try so hard, it's so hard to become Ruhani here. Because the system is such, within our Muslim community, aap dekhe aap Suhoor Fest. We're just, brothers are saying, kya ho raha hai, Suhoor Fest. Have you heard about this? I mean, subhanAllah, we don't have, like, even Ramadan is just not safe. If this something happened, this doesn't even happen. How shaitan has duped us. This type of events never happened the whole year. Never happened the whole year. One brother said, he said, I felt so bad. They have non-Muslims and Muslims and inappropriately dressed in the night. Late night, any place that's open. We in Chicago, can you get 1,000 people or any other city, 1,000 people at night at 12, 1 a.m.? No, absolutely not. Downtown at 1 a.m. on a Sunday night, Saturday night, you're not going to get that. You have specific clubs, a few people, 100 people there, that's it. Where do you have an open air, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 people come? So even the non-Muslims are so attracted to this. They're coming with their boyfriends, their girlfriends, they're drunk, they're high, whatnot. And they're walking around the place, completely, you know, inappropriately dressed. And then you have Muslim girls who are unmarried, Muslim boys are unmarried, or even if you're married, subhanAllah, what difference does it make? walking around the place. They don't have just food. They have booths. They have stalls. They have sell. This one is selling this item. This one is selling, like a flea market, in the night. And then written on top, "Tasaharu fa inna fi suhuri baraka." That takes suhoor, indeed there's barakah at suhoor. How Allah is not going to get angry like this? You're taking a hadith and you're plastering it on top of a place of sin. And in saying there's barakah at suhoor, calling it suhoor fest, instead of just calling it a nightclub or what you call a club, yani a young people's club or young people's festival, whatever. But when we Islamicize it, and when we put things of deen, you know, when we Islamicize it and we add things of deen to it, this is very dajjali, shaitani, iblisi. That, why? Because if you did not Islamicize it, people would automatically say, astaghfirullah, Ramzan ke mahine mein? This, in the month of Ramadan, you're inviting me to a all-night, entertainment thing? What's wrong with you? But when you change it, and when you call it, no, it's suhoor fest, then all of a sudden, the word suhoor, we become so gullible, we get so attached to it, we say, okay, this must be okay. So aap dekhe, how the people spent their nights before, and how the people are spending their nights now. And I mentioned this in the compass, on the last session, that people said we need to support our Muslim-owned coffee shops, alhamdulillah, as an alternative to a non-Muslim, one non-Starbucks, that may give a percentage of theirs to, you know, gives wherever it is. This sounds a good idea, right? But I say, subhanAllah, Starbucks, alhamdulillah, for Starbucks, that in the month of Ramadan, Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, what else is there? Whatever other coffee shops there are. Hey, they're closed at 9 p.m. Done. No opportunity to mess around. But our Muslim-owned shops, because of course during the day they're not getting business, so they want to do it in the night, we just go today. Go right now at Maghrib time. Go during Tarawih time. What you'll see will break your heart. Go on Khatm Quran night. Khatm Quran night, where all of the main masjids are having the dua, I promise you. Maybe not go yourself, hire a non-Muslim person. You can walk around, can go to 9 shops, and I want you to take video from outside. Take pictures of how many people inside. We're not trying to get pictures of people. We just want to know how filled is it. And then you will be shocked during the peak of Khatm al-Quran dua. In all the masjids, how many people will be in our shops? So is this barakah? Is this good? Or is this harmful? Think about it. We're thinking about trying to avoid money going there. And what have we done? That we have pushed all of our youth to spend the choicest, most amazing nights of the year sitting with non-mahram, joking, laughing, rubbing shoulders against one another in the name of Ramadan nights. So my beloved friends, if we do not openly speak about this, we ourselves will become part of this. How are we going to correct other people? We have to worry about our own selves. If we don't speak about it, our own daughters and sons will be lost. And maybe are going that direction. We ourselves have to say, this is not a place where a sharif person goes. A person who has some sense of, you know, honor, self-respect, he should not be, he would not want to be found in a place like that. I'm sure our uncles, our elders here, our own aunties at home, our senior women who are grandmothers, would say, hi, toba, 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 galti se, I'm not going to even step in foot in, even no matter how much I'm getting a headache. I need chai, I will never step foot in there. I guarantee you, no sharif lady, even in her 60s and 70s, would say, I'm going to be caught, you know, picking up a chai in these places. Kya hua? Because there's the haya there. There's a sense, there's a self, there's a ghaira there. There's self-respect there. But who's going to, 70-year-old lady, what's going to happen to you? Nah, this is not a place of any ruhaniya. This is not a place where barakah is coming. I remember some years ago, there was a, you know, our i'tikaf ended at Maghrib. And the next morning was Eid. So one of the out-of-state brothers, he's 10 days, you know, make niyyah. Those of you who didn't make niyyah, make niyyah now, inshallah, they will do i'tikaf. Okay? 10 days i'tikaf. When i'tikaf ends, it's a whole different mahol. So I met him at Isha time. And he was almost crying. And I told him, what happened? He said, I was in this mahol and environment for 10 days. Allah knows what type of spirituality I had. And I just finished, and one of my local friends said, hey, you want to go get some chai? I'm like, I've been in 10 days here, no problem. He said, we just went to go to a chai shop, coffee shop. And he came back for Isha, and he said, I lost everything. I lost everything. What did I do? Why did I listen to this person to go get chai? What kind of ridiculous transaction was that? Kya soda tha wo? 10 din ki ruhaniyat out the door for one cup of chai. What kind of foolishness is this? All of that crying in the night, Laylatul Qadr, this, that, out. So my brothers, you're not going to feel you're losing anything if you don't have anything. Look at that, I don't feel anything. I don't lose anything. Yeah, because you don't have anything. If you had something, you will feel it when it's going away from you. Like I said, my Arustad Mullah Muhammad Dudat Rahmatullah Ali would say in class, he would crack jokes. But he said, bhai, zor se kaha na maro. He would say that don't laugh out loud in class, even when he cracks a joke himself. He would say, take the rumal, shawl, amama, and clench your teeth on it, and hold your laugh inside. He would crack the joke, and then he would tell us how to ensure that we don't laugh out loud. May Allah Azza wa Jal elevate his status, grant him Jannatul Firdaus, fill this qabr with nur. Allahumma ameen. So then he would say that the nur of your face, the nur of tahajjud, the nur of hadith is removed, leaves you when you laugh out loud. Chehre ka nur utar jata hai. By laughing out loud. We're not talking about watching haram and going into mixed gendered gatherings. We're talking about by laughing out loud at your ustad's joke in class. He would say, you're losing your nur. So who's going to feel this? The one who has something. And if we're not feeling it, that's a bigger problem. If we feel, no, I can go in anywhere, alhamdulillah, I don't feel anything. MashaAllah, maybe you're the pervert. No, my friend, you're not. It's, no one's a pervert. You are running an empty tank. That's why you've hit rock bottom. That's why we don't feel anything. And go sit in atikaf properly for 2 days, 3 days even, away from your phone in the masjid, and just go outside. Just go outside. Go to any of these, your favorite shop. Dekhna kya hoga. You'll feel like vomiting. You'll feel like nauseous. You'll feel pain. Ya Allah, what's wrong with the ummah? So these are things of how, look at the mashayikh just 150 years ago, 100 years ago, 50 years ago, how they were spending the nights, and how we're spending our nights. The point is, even the general public, they were gravitating towards these gatherings without any live streaming, without any Instagram, nothing. They would say, let's go sit in Maulana Abdul Rahim, Raipuri's Etika, 500 people sitting there, without even being able to meet him. So sometimes, people say that, we have to get the people, we have to get people in the door, we have to get people to sit and attend. And in order to get people a lot of times I get this question asked. If we do not water down our programs, if we do not water down our programs, if we do not do things which we know are wrong, then the crowd doesn't come in. You've heard this before? Yes? Yusuf, you heard it? If you do not have, for example, what do you mean by watering down? Have men and women sitting together in the bayan. Girls and boys sitting in halaqa together, one circle. Then the youth don't come. They won't attend. So in order to get the people in the door, we have to do that. So what we have to understand is that I'm working with a bunch of drug addicts, for example. And I want to treat them. But I say, these guys are drug addicts. So the medication I'm going to give, and even the dhikr majlis that I'm going to invite to, I have to, instead of putting bukhur, I got to put some drugs on it. So at least they smell the intoxicants and they can get calmly, they can do dhikr with me. Does that make sense? You're dealing with a drug addict and you're saying that in order for him to get in the door, I need to give him what he likes. He likes, a joint. So you say, aja bhai, bayan mein baito, sit in the bayan and iftar, I'll give you a joint. Would you do that? But that's exactly what we're doing. You're telling people, I'm going to water down the deen, I'm going to go against all the etiquettes, do haram, allow men and women to do things that are inappropriate to get people in the door. My friend, he's sick. She's sick. You do not become a means of increasing their sickness by giving them haram. Instead, you meet them, not in the masjid, you meet them there. And treat them. And say, bhai, now leave all the nonsense and come to the masjid to get yourself treated. Which ER, which ICU allows people to keep a bottle of vodka and a pack of cigarettes while sitting there? So similarly, the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be purified, must be cleansed. And when you're trying to get people in, we have to make sure that we are not saying we have to water things down to get here. We understand there are people who are very, very bare minimum. But we cannot water down the deed for that. We say, deed is this, What you're doing is something else. No problem, but I'll meet you somewhere, help you get cleansed up. Like someone says, I want to come to the masjid, but I'm dirty. Okay, no problem. Let's take. Don't come to the masjid dirty. Take a bath. Give him a brand new pair of clothes or whatever. And mashallah, give him itar and then bring him in. That's the way to do. So the shaitan is deceiving the leadership into thinking that in order to get people in the door, we have to do anything and everything. Subhanallah. And if it means call it a suhoor fest, call it a suhoor fest. If it means doing a joint evening program with a late night qiyam. I just saw a video of it. A late night qiyam where boys and girls are sitting in a circle, talking to each other. Right? And they're sitting how? Relaxed. I mean, what should I say, man? Feet extended, feet raised, feet wide open in one circle. High school girls and boys. Where is this happening? In the house of Allah. Being led by a youth director. And then we say, what's going on in Ramadan, Iran, and Iraq, and Afghanistan, and Palestine? Yeah, what Allah is going to do? Wait till what happens next. When we have made a mockery of the deen of Allah in the house of Allah. In the name of bringing people to the deen. Then just wait what will happen. فَتَرَبَّصُوا إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّسِينَ Allah says, wait, I'm also waiting. He tells to the Prophet, tell these people, wait, and I'm also waiting to see what Allah is going to do to you. Whatever we see today, we have brought this upon our own selves. If we don't respect our faith, no one will respect it. If we don't respect our tradition, no one will respect it. If we do not respect our houses of Allah, then no one will respect it. If we do not respect our Ramadan nights, no one will respect it. If we don't respect the sha'air of Islam and the symbols of Islam, do not expect Allah to respect the lives of our women and men, the lives of our children, the lives, our own lives, our wealth, our property. We are genuinely bringing this oppression upon ourselves. May Allah allow all of us to wake up. Say ameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be able to see through the smoke that shaitan and nafs have created. And be able to see right as a right as right, and wrong as wrong. And may Allah allow the entire community to repent collectively and individually from the wrong that they're involved in. May Allah allow the leadership, as well as the public, to be rightly guided. Our job is not to talk down to people. Our job is not to make fun of people. Our job is to sincerely give good advice, good counsel, with ikhlas and sincerity. Your voice, your tone needs to have sincerity in it. We're not here nitpicking. We're not here pointing fingers at anybody. We are saying, you, my beloved brother, sister, who are sitting on the boat of Islam, have made a hole in it. You're sinking, you're going to make me sink as well. We're all going to sink. So stop making a hole in the ship. Whatever you need to do, let's talk about it. What are you trying to achieve? Discuss it. But this is not the way to do it. By destroying the deed and destroying the nights and the days of the men and the women. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow this city to be protected from this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow the elders and the youngsters of the city, the men and the women, to truly understand what harm unintentionally they are causing. And may Allah allow all of us to once again revive, like we've been hearing in the first part. If you just joined now, please listen to it from the beginning. We've been speaking about the way Ramadan was spent, just by our mashayikh, by our teachers, how it was spent in reading Quran, in tahajjud, in dua, in crying, and in teaching and learning. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless me and all of you to have such a Ramadan. We still have 12 days left, or 19 days, alhamdulillah. So much can be done now as well. Let us all proceed downstairs, inshallah, for iftar, and we'll make dua. Let's everyone please kindly go downstairs, inshallah.